morning, birds. Hey. How are you? Good news. It's almost over. What's almost over? Anything you want. Just pick something. It's getting better all the time. May not seem that way, but it is. It's getting better. Hello. Welcome to Thursday. This is the 29th of October. It is 3 after the hour on the Pandemic Pirate Radio program from Chicago here. What a week. Well, we have this unit in the studio here that, not to out a company, Tascam, and that unit records our show every day, and yesterday it just stopped. So, did I mention Mercury retrograde? We're going to have another few days of stuff that, you know, is physically identifiable. Things that just stop. And people that say things that they shouldn't, or people that say things that you don't understand, or stuff like that. Anyway, I thought we would have a new perspective today, so... and we do. We've got all kinds of stuff happening. We're going to continue with the anniversary show here. We welcome an extremely cool guy, the Bowtie Vet, Dr. Mike McClanahan, is going to join us this hour. We'll talk about pets and animals and stuff like that. Today is Bob Ross's birthday. Bob.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
That's right. That is right. I'm going to have that tattooed on my arm. So that's coming up today, and stuff like that there. So listen, let's hit a couple of quick ones here. The good news and bad news. This isn't necessarily good news, but I'm going to make a point about this. Yesterday, Lori Lightfoot dropped her opposition to Governor Pritzker's order for indoor dining restrictions here in Chicago. You know what? That's not good news for bars and in restaurants by any means. But I saw this and I wanted to just, I sort of wanted to put a spin on it here. And I should mention, if you're outside Illinois, this is, it gets a little bit confusing here. By midday, this is yesterday, the state announced that Lake and McHenry counties will become the 8th of 11 regions in Pritzker's reopening plan. And there's a calculus to this. Indoor bar and dining service is going to be banned in those counties beginning Saturday after the average positivity rate exceeded 8% for three consecutive days. All right, if you're listening, if you're trying to make sense of this, do not grab a pencil if you're driving here. Anyway, that's the deal. There's a calculation that when the rates go up to a certain extent, they lock it down. So, you know what? I have this to say about that. We sure want to come out of this soon. And unlike President Trump, who keeps saying, we've turned the corner, you know, I think the corner we need to turn right now is kind of psychological. And I was thinking about being a parent and how when my kids were little, the most terrifying thing that we ever faced together was crossing the street. And I'd say, you see those big vehicles, vroom, they will run you over. Well, Dad, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have some rules here. First, you're going to take my hand. Then you're going to look both ways. And then if the coast is clear, we will cross the street together. What am I telling you? Everybody's done that. As a parent, as a child, I'm saying that there are some rules for the moment. And if we can just get together and figure out what the rule is, we will cross the street together. And we'll be back and we'll get the bars open again and we'll have a drink together and we'll have a meal together without being dressed like we're members of the bomb squad. And that will happen. So let's not forget that on this Thursday as we wake up. We're not there yet, but we will get there. And I think that's what we need to do. So I'll say that about Lori Lightfoot and Governor Pritzker. At least they're not arguing. So the Chicago Tribune reporting that they interviewed Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday. He said a vaccine may be ready by January. A return to normal may be a year away. I think that would be really good news. So we'll put that in our good news. Well, they're not mistakes, but you know what I mean.
We don't make mistakes.
No,
we have happy accidents.
That's right. And here's an accident that seems to be correcting itself, and we're going to talk more about it here. This is big news, and I think it's good news here. The whole notion of whether the virus is getting better or worse or what's happening with people and what age group it targets is the part of a big study today, and it goes like this. The viruses have been, as you know, rampaging over the summer and the fall. 8.5 million Americans. But survival rates, even for seriously ill patients, appear to be improving. So what are we saying here? Well, plenty of people are getting the virus, but fewer people are dying from it. New York, where 30% of coronavirus patients died in March, the death rate had dropped to 3% by the end of June. Doctors in England observed a similar trend. In late March, 4 in 10 people in intensive care were dying. It's according to the University of Exeter. By the end of June, survival was over 80%. Now, what is this all about? I was curious, and there's a lengthy article that I'll try to encapsulate for you. Most scientists say there's no solid evidence that the virus has become less dangerous. But as older people took greater precautions to avoid infections, more of the hospitalized patients were younger adults, right? Okay, exactly. And by the end of August, the average patient was under 40. Now, were the death rates lower because a treatment was an advancing factor? According to a group of people at NYU Langone Health, they analyzed more than 5,000 patients, and they concluded that the improvement was real. This is the big news here. Even when they controlled for the differences in the patient's age and sex and race and underlying health problems, they found the death rates had dropped significantly. to 7%, 7.6% in August from 25% in March. What happened? A combination of factors, they think, contributed to the improved outcomes. Clinicians gained more experience with the disease. They became better able to manage it. They used steroid drugs. You've heard about those, non-drug interventions. And they said that the fact that communities are more aware of this, that patient, for example, they sought care earlier. They weren't waiting. You know, daddy's been coughing for 3 weeks now. No, they went to the doctor earlier, and that's the deal. So all good news there. Have we turned the corner, as President Trump said? No, but we're getting a grip on something here. So, yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, boy, I feel like I've been talking for hours. I just got up. Let's go see what's going on in the streets of Chicago, and then we'll call up Aaron, the news baron. Let's see here.
Hey, my band's shooting this music video.
Wait.
We're going around every neighborhood.
It's Dash Tone.
We'll call Dash Tone.
Every neighborhood in Chicago, and just asking random people on the street, and just shooting random people, lip syncing like 2 to 3 seconds of lyrics.
Sometimes you get them, sometimes you.
What up, folks? Thanks for sticking around. Sometimes I get low like a stick on the ground, but you pick me up when I'm hurting, feeling go to singing, get that dirt off of your shoulder. Every day I'm getting older and I learn a little more, but not just how to properly assert a metaphor, and you are what I'm better for, and I love you dearly. I'm sorry for the days that I ain't stuck you near me, but I can be foolish and dumb, naive to believe you would leave me in the slums. You bring me to the sun and baby let it shine. You show me what is love, wish I could give you all of mine. Some days I feel like a bum, and you just tell me everything's fine. You bring me to the sun and baby let it shine. You show me what is love, wish I could give you all of mine. Like, this life's been good to me, but you gotta let it go, you gotta let it breathe. From all I know and all I see, someday we'll all be free. And this life's been good to me, but you gotta let it go, you gotta let it breathe. From all I know and all I see, someday we'll all be free. It's easy to get distracted, and in keeping up with the habits of the people on my planet, I reacted. I know I could have done better, but shit, I had to grow. They tell you never say never, and I believe that sort of. But if the phrase took feedback and read that the core of every word in this world has its place. For example, I will never let these minutes go to waste. I will never hesitate, and I will never set it straight. No matter how hard I try, life is war, but best believe I'm singing my battle cry. Every chance I'm given, it's the stance I'm living. Cause first it's the earth, then I'ma tackle the sky. And I know I make mistakes. I'll probably fall face first in a fist full of snakes. But if it's what it takes, well, baby, then it's fine. You show me what is love, wish I could give you all of mine. Like,
this life's been good to me, but you gotta let it go, you gotta let it breathe. From all I know and all I see, someday we'll all be free. This life's been good to me, but you gotta let it go, you gotta let it breathe. From all I know and all I see, someday we'll all be free.
Not a promise that I can make. You know the seasons change. I change with the move to the rhythm. I got to use my feet. This earth is mine and I am strong, and I have faith to carry on. And though my brothers often suffered, no, they never walk alone. And in this love, we know us, and only that could make us whole.
Someday we'll all be free. Someday we'll all be free.
I was listening to the end of this carefully because it was a little bit of a wrap up there. That's a great project and a great group. Dashtone. We enjoyed meeting them, and I hope we get a chance to see what they're doing here. It's called Someday. It's posted on our website. And we are at the end of 6 months here, which is disorienting. So, and to straighten us out, we have Aaron the News Baron. Let me see if I can pull him up there. Aaron, I think if you talk, I will hear you. Did you say something yet? Try saying something now. Hello. Hello?
Hey, Garen.
There, you hear me?
Yeah.
I hear you.
All right, great.
We had you on for about 15 minutes the other day. Nobody heard you. So. Let me cheat your mic up a little bit. I've got you pinned here. Hang on. Let me just do this right here. Okay. You're listening to live radio. I was telling everybody I've been watching some. I try to avoid the TV these days, but I'm watching some of the cable news people who don't seem to have a microphone anywhere near the camera at all. So anyway, whatever we get from you. So Aaron, let me grab some news here. We'll poke through this together. Let's see here. Oh man, I just strained my back picking up the New York Times. Yesterday, the Supreme Court, as you well know, decided in favor, I think, in favor of those of us that would like to see this election fair, in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. They said that they were going to be they were going to allow these states to accept ballots for several days after Election Day. In Pennsylvania, the court refused a plea from Republicans in a state that says it can decide before Election Day whether the election officials can continue receiving absentee ballots for 3 days. And in the North Carolina case, the court lets stand lower rulings. So, Aaron, what do you make of all this?
Yeah, so I think it's a good thing for democracy. The only thing is it leaves the door wide open for there to be some hullabub on election day of who's going to take those counts with the most weight versus the mail-in votes that'll come in a few days or a week later.
I love that word, hullabub. We have a new app, me and Aaron. It's odd word of the day, hullabub. Well, you know, listen, I'm going to take it from the top here. I was surrounded by all this stuff today. I was trying to figure out what is new here. And the thing about the Trumpsies, they sort of want everybody's memory to be erased. But I mean, to start with, every election that I remember, we stayed up late as the tallies came in. That was one thing. Secondly, it was during my lifetime that they decided, the media decided that they would not report any returns until the polls had closed, right? So, I mean, that made sense. That was all sort of logical. But now we seem to have this bizarre expectation. What'd you say, hullabub? Something like
hullabub,
we're going to have hullabub. The quick, just to finish those two cases. So, let's see here. In bullet points here, Justice Amy Coney Barrett was not involved in either of those decisions. It looks like Pennsylvania is maybe an open issue still, but North Carolina not so much. And let me just find the one thing, Aaron, that I was going to ask you to comment on. I think this is an appeals judge who was appointed by Trump. He said, let me just see here. This is the, forgive me, we're doing our best not to rattle paper, but I've got so much. Here we go. And a dissent, listen to this guy. He says, it takes no special genius to know what this insidious formula is producing. Our country is now plagued by a proliferation of pre-election litigation that creates confusion and turmoil, and that threatens to undermine public confidence in the federal courts, the state agencies, and the elections themselves. This is a federal appeal judge. I can't believe. Are you kidding with this? Go ahead. He's shaking his head. You can hear him shaking his head.
It's just so perfect. And I, because the certain people who up until election day were going to say mail-in ballots were going to be fraudulent. There's going to be a lot of, you know, as we said, hullabub, a lot of, you know, back and forth over the legitimacy of it. Once the votes are counted, we're going to see those exact same people flip.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, these votes don't need to be counted. We have the results in. What do you mean?
I know.
Everything's fair and clear.
I think it's a, again, I'm trying to just, remind people what we already know. I saw, yesterday I was on, I was watching MSNBC, and they had a congresswoman from California who was elected, you know, every 2 years, and she was elected for the first time 2 years ago, and she pointed out that it took them, I think, 17 days to count the ballots before the, you know, the winner, as it were, was announced. And she made the point, she said, I didn't win until they counted the ballots. So the idea, right, that you can't, this whole idea that some, you're going to flip something, you know, that you can't flip a game until it's over. I don't, it's hard for me to work with that. So,
well, the good thing is that on election day, a few states we should, because they can count their mail-in votes as they get them in, like rolling counting them. So Florida, we will have that on election night for sure. And if we, whichever way Florida goes, will set the tone for the rest of the week, basically, at that point. Because Florida is a must-have, a must-grab for Trump. So if Biden wins Florida, that bodes very well. We can pretty much set the board. But I have a fear that we'll have some early voting tallies going in, maybe election, the polls close, and we get those little the questionnaires that they do, and based on that information, they assume which way each state is swinging.
Right.
I think on that day, we could see some pre-filled maps that are projecting pretty deep red in many places. And I could see Trump and his cronies saying, oh, look, anything other than this is just a fluke. It's just people trying to, you know, sow discord and lie and put in these fake mail ballots and, you know, some court cases coming out of that. I can see a lot of things rolling out of it.
I'll tell you what Bob Ross would say about that.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
That's right. So they're hoping for a happy accident of some sort. You know what? I don't want to be overly anything about this. It's really hard for me. And as I said, some of the stuff I read about the coronavirus, Trump now saying we've turned the corner. We haven't. Everybody knows that. We've turned the corner in the sense that we have a better grip on things. But anyway, I think that he, and as of 2 days ago, Aaron, as you know, the White House chief of staff said, hey, we don't know what we're doing. We got to wait for a vaccine. That's it. I mean, that's it. That's their, that's like the final before people go to the polls, right? That's Trump's closing message. Go in there and hope for the best. So
pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Is there anybody that in the last few days here is more likely to vote for Trump? Do you get that? What's happening with that?
Not at all. And see, that's the thing. I think when it comes to tallying the votes, it's pretty clear where the country's leaning. These polls, even if they're wrong, have been so consistent throughout the entire year. It's just the fact that that may not be relevant if we're playing the deeper ball game of going to the courts and, you know, all of that. But you're right. I don't think anybody's being swayed towards Trump, especially with this rally in Omaha.
Yeah,
a lot of his supporters are kind of like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, hang on. Omaha is in Nebraska, that part I know. They had a rally in which, what was the deal there? People showed up without masks, kind of, or no?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So this is the funniest story.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the rally was at a airport on the tarmac. And so they couldn't drive their cars on the tarmac. They had to meet ways very far away. It's in Nebraska.
Hmm.
And then they got on these buses where their cars were, and they traveled all the way to the airport. So they got to the airport, had the rally, had fun. The buses left. They were stranded there for hours. Six people ended up at the hospital.
Oh, no.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Ridiculous.
These were probably like, you know, like wedding party buses that they had to rent something. We don't know what the deal is on that.
Right. Your supporters, though.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Elderly people out on the tarmac freezing to death.
I know.
Their cars are miles away. There's no Uber or Lyft.
Yeah. These guys are like the phrase, drink the Kool-Aid. It was invented.
they're fighting them. Over the cups.
I know. 25 after the hour, we're talking to Aaron the News Baron. Hey, let's not get embarrassed on the air. I hope I have this right. I think Nebraska allocates its electoral votes by congressional district. I don't think they, in other words, most states, you have the electoral votes, and when you win it, you win it. But in Nebraska, I think that they divvy it up. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, so there are three congressional districts. They kind of coincide with the House seats, the right. U.S. House seats.
Right.
And so in two of the first and third district, Trump is heavy winning that. The second, Biden has a chance. And honestly, Biden could win if he gets just the blue wall,
yeah.
Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, et cetera. And if he gets the second congressional district and Arizona.
Yeah,
and those two he could.
And that second, that is Omaha, right? That's what we're talking
yes.
about. So the people,
yes.
the people that did not go and we're not breathed upon by anybody else here. That's a thing. We always revisit this. I was mentioning over the weekend, the New York Times did this, I thought, kind of helpful thing on, they were going to explain the election to kids. And I thought, oh, this is good. So I made some Bosco, I opened up the paper and they started to kind of, they said, now kids, here's the Electoral College. And I thought, no. Why don't you try photosynthesis for 4-year-olds now? So anyway, I mean, it's sort of inside baseball to get into the number of allocated electoral seats, but that's what we're going to do. And let me repeat what you said, which I think, what is it that if Biden gets Arizona, and we think Pennsylvania, and
yes.
and Florida's in there, and Omaha, right? And mm-hmm. that could be that's a formula, that's a path for them. So.
He doesn't even need Florida technically in that
in that. Okay. This is very interesting. All right, before I let you run here, I wanted to just get a sense of how worried people should be about mail-in ballots at this point. I would be remiss in not saying, if you haven't mailed in your ballot by now, it's really too late. Mm-hmm. But if it's in the mail somewhere, we hope for the best. But the other thing is, you know, there were the I don't have the figure, but there's an enormous number of mail-in ballots that have not been returned yet. And when one theory was, well, these people just decided not to mail it in, they're going to go and vote in person. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I don't know about the withstanding ballots, but I do know that Louis DeJoy, and we all know where he stands on this,
right.
he said a specific date that you should send in your mail-in ballot by, mm-hmm. and that date is passed.
Yeah.
So if you do have your ballot just sitting there filled out, take it to a drop box or take it to your, you know, election day polls.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how many people requested the ballot and just decided not to send it in yet, or they're going to send it in person. That I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of these sort of two numbers that maybe don't correspond. I'm glad you brought up Louis DeJoy. He's starring in the Nuremberg Trials 2021 as himself. You know, he'll be explaining why. So what were you thinking when you dismantled the post office right before the election? What was going on there? So anyway.
Literally.
All right, it's almost over, man, I hope. I hope soon. Yeah. So, all right.
Less than a week.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, my little heart went pitter pat when you said that. All right, Aaron, don't go anywhere. Well, go somewhere, and we'll check with you in just a moment or two. You know, Alanis Morissette has a song about reasons that she drinks. I think it's a good time to see if that makes sense. It's 1:30.
These are the reasons I drink. The reasons I tell everybody I'm fine, even though I am not. These are the reasons I overdo it. drinking since I can remember, since I was single digits. Now, even though
that Alanis Morissette drinks. Hopefully we'll be able to walk it back a little bit as things get a little less stressful. It's 34 after the hour. It's Gary Lee right here on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago on Bleat.network. And speaking of reasons to drink, we want to watch this segue here. We have the drinking vet. No, I'm sorry. We have Mike McClenahan, who is a DVM, which I think is a veterinarian, who hosts a podcast in which people just sit around and they get schlocked with their pets. Is that right? Maybe I'm oversimplifying the concept there.
I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, the idea is if you met a couple of vets at a cocktail party and you wanted to ask them unfiltered questions, this is what you'd get.
Yeah. And what? Give me an example of something that falls into that category. Do they do at cocktail parties? But do people wander up with their slurring their words and talk about God knows what? And that's what you're trying to replicate, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get that. But really, there's a lot of podcasts out there and videos out there about like how to trim your dog's nails and how to handle when your dog is sick or has diarrhea or vomiting. What do you do? And we wanted to have one that was more like, what do vets talk about?
Yeah.
So we handle some pretty heavy topics like suicide in the veterinary community. We talk about euthanasia, money. But we also have lighthearted ones like love in veterinary medicine, which was really a chance for my co-host to just make fun of me for an hour.
I would have tuned in for that. No, I'm kidding. The the I don't want to gloss over that. I had no idea that there was suicide in your community. That's news.
It's actually a really, we're the third, as far as jobs at rate of suicide.
Wow.
I think police and I think we're just ahead of dentists. I think it's police and military or that.
Yeah.
And we're it's a real problem in the veterinary community. We're something like 3 times more likely than the general public to commit suicide. It's a tough thing. Huh. You think about it. We're all type A people. We all really love our jobs and our animals, and we work really hard. And we lose all of our patients too because we know we outlive them. So it's a tough thing. But we're making strides.
I had not thought about that. All right. Well, let's make sure people are a little more informed. So
yeah.
I forgot.
Be nice to your vet people. Yeah.
All right. Let me spin this. You have a ferret.
I did at one point. That is true.
Yeah. No longer.
She has passed quite a while ago. Okay. Her name was Emily, and she was adorable.
And what's the ferrets kind of, they need like a publicist because they're not the bad people or people. They're not the bad animals that we think. Is that correct?
Oh no. They're hilarious for one thing. They're very funny and, they do like to cuddle. The funniest thing about them is they like to make nests. So they're always stealing little things. And I can't tell you the number of times we would find like a bunch of socks, behind the couch or something. And, the ferret spent most of the time sleeping, but the other time stealing socks and stealing things. And they jump around and they think they're hilarious. They just think they're the funniest things ever.
That is charming.
Yeah.
And you, and I think you and I talked about the sloth when we were talking. That's another funny animal.
They're,
did you have a sloth?
They are funny. I have never had a sloth. I think they can I'll just let them stay in zoos and in the wild.
Yeah.
but I just imagine a sloth being mad at you and you're like, you're just waiting there. Are you mad? Are you going to swipe at me? What's going on here?
That's where they go bond.
Later.
They go bond and help the ferret steal your socks. Right? 'Cause what
there you go.
Yeah.
If you can't find the sloth, probably the ferret took it and put it under the couch.
We have so many, we've been attempting to do this show for now 6 months, and you were nice enough to come on again. We're surrounded by animals here, Dr. Mike. I do a morning chat with the birds. I'm starting to understand what they are saying. We talk about dogs and cats and things like that, but, let me just grab something. I get all my information from the magazines on the Walgreens rack when I go in. Because it's always when you're on vacation, right? You go down, you're going, Saga.
I read a magazine.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Argosy, I haven't seen that one lately. So anyway,
I've forgotten there were such a thing.
So I picked up this thing. It's a Time publication. It's called The Science of Memory. And there is an entire chapter on... it's called An Elephant Never Forgets. And it talks about the fact that an elephant's brain is 10 pounds. And it talks about all these, the opening of it, I won't bore you with this. This is quicker. Shirley and Jenny had not laid eyes on each other for more than 2 decades. But the old friends were brought together and the moment was beyond dramatic. It's not two girlfriends, it's two elephants who saw each other after like 20 years. And they recognized each other. I didn't want to spin you. You don't work on elephants yourself, but what about that?
I don't, but I am not a bit surprised. I've seen pets that I hadn't seen in a year and they recognize me. They're excited to see me. They're happy when they get in there. I saw one of my, I ran the Boston Marathon a few years ago and it was just by coincidence, my childhood friend who I hadn't seen in 30 years, was running it at the same time. When I saw him, we knew we were going to be there. We saw each other. And it was like we hadn't skipped a beat, like we were, middle schoolers or high schoolers again. I'm not surprised.
Well, how do pets recognize, I shouldn't say pets, well, how do animals recognize us? Do they see us? These are
it depends on the animal, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you think about how a dog perceives the world. Their vision isn't as good as ours, but they can smell something like a million times better than us. Yeah. A million times. So they're smelling, their sense of smell goes like back in time. They can be like, oh, this was here 2 days ago and this was yesterday. You know, whenever people say, oh, my dog was nervous when it came into the vet, like as soon as we pulled in, I'm like, well, they can smell the dogs that were here and are sick, you know, a very different perception. So, you know, to me, it would be depending on the animal.
And it's really like yeah. when they're sniffing each other, it's not pleasant to look at, but they are, it's like a huge database, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and they're seeing not just what's there now, but what was there yesterday and the day before. So they're seeing back through time with their noses. It's fascinating. Like, I can't imagine what that would be like in the, you know, what the world would be like.
How has the veterinarian business been under the COVID? Are you having more or less illnesses, injuries? What's happening?
Every vet that I talk to is swamped and overwhelmed with work. And there's a couple of reasons. I mean, I haven't taken a full lunch break since March.
Wow.
I haven't, you know, basically I get time to run, go pee, and then I'm back at work. I don't sit down all day. Hmm. And I think there's a couple of things going on. One is we're doing a lot of curbside, you know, not coming into the hospital. So everything takes longer. And number two, there are several vet clinics that have had to shut down because of COVID, because, you know, their staff has gotten it and they have, or their staff has gone away or moved away, or the veterinarian got sick and they had to shut down for a while. And so all the vet clinics that are left are getting all that overflow, but we're booked out weeks in advance.
How does the curbside work? What is that?
Yeah, they'll pull up and they'll call in, or we have a text number that's written on a sign out there, you know, and then a technician runs out, you know, full mask and gloves and everything, takes the patient, cat or dog or whatever, and brings it in.
Oh, okay.
And then we do the exam inside. Okay. And then I call them and they say, oh no, what about this? And I go back and look at the animal again. And then I call them again. And then we come up with a plan. It just really takes a lot of people and a lot of time. But what we're trying to do is decrease that amount of time we're in proximity to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about rescuing animals. It seems like every pet we hope these days is a rescue animal.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? Are you in the rescue business, or you just help them after they're rescued? How's that all go?
Yeah, it's we're making big progress on decreasing the number of homeless animals. My birthday was last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I won't tell you how old I was, but I'm old enough that if I sleep too long, it hurts. Sleep is kicking my butt.
Oh,
but for my birthday, I made this funny video. You know those videos where they're like, please, won't you give a dollar to help these pets in need? But I made one about dogs that can't catch. It's all slow motion of dogs missing.
That's funny.
You can see it on my Instagram, Bowtie Vet Guy, or on YouTube, Bowtie Vet Guy. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm actually going to raise money for some homeless pets. So my sister said, just put your Venmo up there and have people send you money.
Yeah.
And when, you know, I got like $1,000 that I'm going to give
no.
to local charities. Yeah.
Wow.
People just sent it to me, trusting that I'm going to give it to where it is.
Jeez.
I could just send it. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
But the rescues, you know, it's all my pets are rescues. You know, I don't get too upset with people if they get a non-rescue pet. But I do think if you get a dog or a cat that's from a breeder, you also should end up rescuing one to sort of even it out.
That's nice. Okay. That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
We're talking here to the Bowtie Vet Guy, Dr. Mike McClanahan, who has a podcast we can plug, and he's got YouTube stuff, and he's got an Instagram account. This is a good question here. Sparks asked me to ask you, if you could have any animal in the world, no restrictions, what animal would that be?
Whew. You know, a living, dead, anything, or individual animal, or species.
Well, hopefully a live one.
Yeah. Well, no, my first thought.
Oh,
was
you mean extinct?
I would love to have my childhood pet back.
Okay.
Just for a day.
Yeah.
Just to see him for a day.
Was that a dog or a cat?
I had a cat from the time I was 14 until I was 30.
Oh man.
That's a lot of life. You know, that's high school. That's college. That's getting married. That's, you know.
Jeez.
That was a great cat.
What breed of cat was that?
It was was, you know, the orange tabby cat from a barn.
Wow.
His name was Barney. He was born in a barn.
Oh, that's cute.
And I grew up in Iowa, so, you know, it was a lot
of. Did you really? Where?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where?
A little bitty town called Sigourney, Iowa.
Yeah.
My dad lived in Dubuque.
Yeah.
Graduate. Yeah. I have family in Chicago. They're in Naperville.
I used to be on WOC. Do you know that station?
WOC in
Quad Cities, booming all over the
state.
Yeah,
town. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I was in Burlington my last couple years.
Yeah. Ago. Ronald Reagan and I worked together, kind of.
Really?
Speaking of
too
old.
Did you work with a monkey, too?
Speaking of too old to sleep properly, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Small world.
Go ahead. Say again.
Small world.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. I guess I like talking about animals. I'm realizing what a good thing. I still don't have a pet. It's a virtual pet. Yeah. We talked about this, but I think
you're going to get one.
Yeah, I maybe. Yeah, maybe. I told you
with a cat.
A cat. You said that. You pictured me with a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's the best breed of a cat?
You know, they're what we call the domestic short hair cat, which is just the mutt cat.
Yeah.
You know, that's what most of the cats are in this area. You know, we get people that like the Sphinx cat. We see some of those. Those are the hairless ones.
Right.
Yeah, and you either love those or you hate them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're weird looking, man.
I know.
They're weird looking. Yeah. But they're nice, you know. Like, oh, a cat should be furry, but this one feels like skin. It's strange. It's weird.
Wow. Yeah. What's the smartest animal? I'll leave you with a con, and then we'll hang up. So if people disagree, then you're gone, right?
I'm gone, so they can't. You know, they can find me if they want. The smartest non-human animal, I'm going to go with bonobo, because all they do is sit around and relax all day.
I don't know what a bonobo is.
It's like a monkey in that one. It's in the Great Apes, I think.
Okay.
Bonobo. Yeah. People.
Bonobo.
They're great. And the women are in charge in the bonobos.
Yeah. That's why that's why things work better, I think. And
absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
What a treat to have you on. Let's make sure people know about your podcast. Go ahead.
It's called The Vets Unleashed, and you can find it on Apple, you know, podcasts. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
You can find me on Instagram at the Bowtie Vet Guy, YouTube Bowtie Vet Guy, because I wear a bow tie and I'm a vet and a guy.
And where that video that you shot decrying the dog's inability to catch, is that posted somewhere?
That's on my YouTube channel and on my Instagram. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Good luck to you. I mean it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you. Of course.
We'll hang out in Iowa together. We'll go have a loose meat sandwich.
Yeah, and then a pork tenderloin, and then ice cream.
Oh, man. Dr. Mike, thank you, man.
Oh, thanks a lot.
See ya.
All right.
Wow. Let's do a... Let's do a loud record.
Yeah.
Yeah, the supergroup, the Raspberries. At 8 before the hour, it's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleat.network, and a very special day today. This is Bob Ross's birthday. Bob Ross. If you don't know who Bob Ross was, I don't even know where to start. The guy was on this bizarre public TV show called The Joy of Painting, ran for 11 years, and we all were mesmerized. Bob had a thing with animals. You hear about that?
If you painted with me before, you know I have all kind of little creature pets. I'm going to share with you today my latest little squirrel that's living with me. He is the most precious little thing. You have to force him to eat, see? We call him Peapod the Pocket Squirrel, because he would live in your pocket forever. And one of my neighbors, a young man named Dennis, lives down the street from me, found him and brought him to me. And he lives with me now. I think I have 5 squirrels right now and 2 crows. And this little squirrel will be ready to turn loose here in just a few more weeks. And he'll go back to nature and he'll have a good time. And these things usually stay around the house when I turn them loose. And so I get to enjoy them sometime for years and years and years. I love these little rascals. They're so much fun to feed and to play with and to work with. It creates a whole new awareness of nature when you work with little animals like this. Probably in every town nearly in the country, there are people who work with injured and orphaned animals. And this is where I get all these little animals that you see. These very well may be, if they're not for sure, the most endangered mammal on the North American continent. These are the Florida panthers. When I was a little boy living in Florida, they weren't that rare. I would hear them. I actually never saw them very often, but you would hear them at night. And they make a sound that sounds, well, it sounds just like a lady screaming far off in the distance, and I would hear them. They're almost non-existent now. You don't keep these kind of creatures as pets. These kind of creatures, God meant for them to be free. So we raise them up and we get them grown, or we take care of them, whatever they need. And then we turn them loose and they go back to nature where they belong. So if you're raising a raccoon, be careful when they grow up. They're pretty tough little characters. But when they're babies like this, God's never made a more delightful little thing. And they're just like feeding a little baby. Oh, they just lay there, and when they're done, you pat them on the back, and they burp. I get sort of carried away with these little characters. I love these little animals so much. Ever so often, I just like to share one with you. So I say, this is a nighthawk, and he flies around at night and eats insects by the ton. Just flies around with his mouth open. This one's been injured. He only has one wing. But he's doing very, very well. So, anyway, this is a painting show, so I think we should paint. I tell you what, I've got a little bit of footage right here of Peapod. Let me show him to you. That little rascal, he is such a cute little devil. He's lived with me ever since he was just a tiny little baby. In fact, his eyes wouldn't even open when he came to me. And I raised him up, and he now lives in the backyard. I turned him loose quite a while ago. But he's the one little squirrel that doesn't seem to want to go away. He just hangs around. Every morning he comes to my back door and I feed him and take care of him. He runs through the house like he owns it. Which, as far as he's concerned, he does own it. And that's all right. Very few people ever have the opportunity to know a little fella like him as well as I do.
I am mesmerized. I'm sitting here in the studio and I forgot we were doing a radio program here. Bob Ross, you know, sometimes you hear somebody's voice and they are alive again. You think? I do think that was Bob Ross. One more lick here.
I think probably nothing will teach you more than just experimenting. Do as many different things as you have the nerve to do.
Yeah.
Shoo, just go for it. There. So Sometimes you learn more from mistakes than you do from trying so hard. So anytime you make a mistake, before you get upset with it, look at it. Sometimes those mistakes turn into be the best learning devices we have. There we are. And I mentioned on one of the other shows, maybe even a different series, I don't remember, I get letters from people who say they're just not satisfied with what they're doing, that their paintings just, they're just not coming out the way they want them. And I think if there's a secret to human nature, it's the fact that we aren't satisfied. We're never satisfied. I hope you're absolutely plagued with dissatisfaction through your whole life. Because if you are, you'll always strive to do better.
This widecast was produced by Natasha Rodriguez. For her and me and Bob Ross. See ya.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, or also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful.